Yes, sir. All right. Thank you, church. That was beautiful. I heard a couple harmonies in there. All right, well, this morning we're a little off schedule. And for some people, that really makes you, and so peace. We'll probably finish before the children finish their lesson. But please remember to go get your children anyhow, parents. I know you will. Well, we've experienced church already. And we're in a series this summer called Power Up. And we're looking at the book of Acts, and we're going through it chapter by chapter, and we're highlighting some things that God was doing with his followers as he birthed the church. And so today, we're going to look at chapter 3 together. We're going to look at the first 11 verses. And before we read that wonderful story, which is one of my favorite stories in the book of Acts, I want you to think for a moment of some time in your life when you received way, 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 way more than you were expecting. Think of a time when you had your expectations far exceeded. So I have one. It was a birthday. And it was a little while ago. I was being asked by my young children, "What do you want for your birthday, Dad?" And I thought I'd just say something so outlandish that it would just, you know, put them off and they'd give up. So I said, I want a new motorcycle. And I had previously owned one, and in a noble gesture to my wife, sold it. And so I had been without one for a lot of years, and it was a big birthday coming up, and so I told the kids, "I just want a motorcycle, nothing much, just a new motorcycle." And they're like, "Dad, what do you really want?" And yeah, a motorcycle. So I thought, well, they'll get creative and they'll give me one of those little matchbox motorcycles and wrap it up real good. And sure enough, on my birthday, I had this little box. And I opened it up and there was this picture of a motorcycle. I thought, well, that's not even as good as a matchbox motorcycle. And there was a picture, and Sue said, "No, that's really it." I was given a 2002 Kawasaki Vulcan for my birthday. Not by Sue. She was the mediator. The rest of the story is a family in our church had been praying, and they were praying for me, and they said the Lord told them to give me his motorcycle. When you pray today, just listen to what the Lord says. It exceeded everything I ever believed was possible. I call it the Jesus motorcycle. I lend it freely to anyone who wants to take a ride because it was given to me and it blesses me still. So that's my story of getting way more than I received, than I was expecting. I want to read Acts chapter 3, and we're gonna just move pretty quickly here. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them, eagerly expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have." Please remember that if you don't remember anything else today. "I don't have gold or silver for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and he helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking and leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were completely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Let's pray. Lord, this story is incredible. And it's true. Lord, would you make the reading of your word stir faith in our hearts? Would you make the things we share right now stir faith in our hearts? We love you. We trust you. We want to trust you even more. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't you wonder why and when God does stuff? I do. When I read a story like this, I have so many questions I'm thinking of. I'm thinking, this guy had been lame his whole life. And everyone in the temple knew him because he was there every day. His day went like this. Friends and family carry him into the temple at the gate. He begs for money. They come. They carry him home. Do it another day. They carry him into the temple. He begs for money. They come. They take him home. That's been his life for decades. And then there's this day. You know, he had been in the temple begging for money so consistently that he surely was there when Jesus came and went to the temple. Why didn't Jesus heal him, for heaven's sake? In fact, John and Peter, this wasn't their first visit to the temple. They were good Jews. They spent time at the temple. They had seen him before. You know, there are certain places in town, if you go to on a regular basis, you see the same people by that stoplight, don't you? And then they're not there anymore, and they have been there so consistently, you wonder, where are they? What's going on with them? He had been there so many times, so consistently, that Jesus had passed by him, John and Peter had passed by him, but on this day, Peter looks at him intently. Why? What's going on? I ask those kind of questions. What made this day different from every other ordinary day? That Peter and John look at him intently and say, "Look at us." It wasn't enough for them to take notice and see him, maybe in a different way for the first time. They're asking him, "Look at us." So he's like, "Hey, if you've seen someone who does this begging thing on a regular basis, they don't look up. They're just sighing." You know, the universal way to show that you don't care about someone or ignore them is to not make eye contact. You get in a small group meeting where somebody drones on way too long and everybody lets them know, "We're done listening to you," by looking down. Now, that's never happened in your small groups, and Mike has trained new small group leaders who never let that happen, but we've experienced that, right? When we're done, we look down or look away. But in this day, Peter and John say, "Look at us," after they look at him. I believe that this day is different from every other day for a number of reasons. So I'm going to offer a few of my thoughts. I think this day is so different from the previous ones is that Peter and John are coming to the temple, full of the Holy Spirit, after seeing God do crazy stuff just a few days before. In Acts 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples who had been praying for days, and Peter got this boldness to preach a message, and thousands of people got saved and baptized, and they are on a spiritual buzz. Those are good ones. Other kinds, not so much. He said, don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. So they're full of the Holy Spirit, and they've seen God do remarkable things. And if you've ever experienced that in your life, you are looking for opportunities to see God move again. That's what I think, that's why this day is different. John and Peter are full of the Holy Spirit. They've seen God do crazy things, and they are on alert for another opportunity to see God move. And they're looking for even the smallest spark of faith somewhere. So I think that's a part of what made this day different. I hope you've had experiences where you've seen God move, and it stirs faith in you to be more observant and to see things differently. I think every time I come home from a short-term missions trip where I've seen God do remarkable things, I have this, I want my short-term mission experience to continue in Harrisonburg. I come back with that kind of desire. So I think that's part of what made this a different day. And I think part of what made this a different day than the ordinary day after day after day for this lame beggar is just faith is a mysterious thing. We'll talk a little bit more about that. So, I don't have silver or gold, but what I have, I give you. You know, we can't give what we don't have. Most of us don't draw attention to what we don't have. That was Peter's eloquent segue. I don't have money. Look at me. I don't have money. Thank you very much. He said, but what I do have, I give you. Do you know, I think there are so many of us who are asking for something that is way less than what God wants to give. I think some of us right now are in a place where we have a need that we have been bringing to God, and maybe we want to see God give me the money to fill up my car with gas so I can get to work, and give me food money so I can feed my family, as we were seeing on these slides. Just give me that. And what God wants to give is himself. Because when you have him, when you have the Holy Spirit, when you have a relationship with Jesus, when you know your Heavenly Father is good, anything is possible. You can not only have the provision you need in that moment, you can have way, way more. You can have freedom. You can have healing. So you can't give what you don't have, and we ought not to try to do that. Some of us would like to give away what someone else has. That works. But God wants to work through his body, and he wants us to see. I think one of the keys in this passage is looking at people through the eyes of God. I think for the first time, John and Peter saw this lame man for who God had created him to be. And they wanted to see him walk in who he was. So, what do you have to give others? I just want to tell you, you have way more to give than you think. You have way more to give than you imagine right now. We can all give empathy. We can all give money, probably, in this room. You can give some support and assistance, and you can pray for people. All of those things are good, and any disciple of God should be able to give those things: empathy, prayer, finances, practical assistance. But as followers of Jesus, who have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have way, 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 way more to give. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. You have the Holy Spirit in you if you are a follower of Jesus. And that same Holy Spirit that's in you was what was poured out on Pentecost and showed up like flame over people's head and gave them ability to speak in languages they didn't know before and to see people healed, just like this story. That same Holy Spirit is in you, and it made history in the book of Acts, and it'll make history today if we just embrace who he is. The same Holy Spirit that inspired Peter to preach lives in you. The same Holy Spirit that inspired Peter and John to see this lame man for more than what he was living lives in you. You have the power that raised Christ from the dead resident in you. Whoa. You can ask for more than you're asking, and you can accomplish more than you're doing, but it won't be you, it'll be Christ in you. What this lame beggar first and foremost received was an encounter with the presence and the power and the love of Jesus in a way he had never known it before through these two disciples. Every one of us can give people an encounter with the presence and the power and the love of Jesus if we will just see them and reach out to them. Now, when we see these stories, if you're a bit of a thinker, there's a tendency to analyze this story and say, oh, well, if I do what Peter and John did, and I take this step, and then I say these words that work for them, I'll use the same words, and then I do this, then surely somebody will be healed. That just doesn't work. Quit analyzing the story for the five ways to have a miracle. Okay? Just let the Holy Spirit that's in you give you a nudge and then step out. Friday night, we had an amazing time in the presence of the Lord. He was moving. He was speaking. By the way, we had 4 or 5 amazing prophetic words, and we're going to get them all written out, and you'll get every one of them in Grace Life this week. So Grace Life is our Thursday email. If you don't get that, you want that because you always want to know what's going on, but you especially want it this week because all the prophetic words will be shared with you that way, okay? So quick story, then we're going to land this plane. Wednesday night, I have permission to share this. Well, I haven't even checked with Sandy yet, but Sandy brought a friend, coworker, to Friday night because that's something she can give, right? We can give people what we have. We have a life-giving, passionately worshiping body of Christ, and we can share that with anybody. Give it away. So Sandy brought a friend, and the friend was enjoying the worship service. And then we have this other person, and so I asked Sylvia if I could share this, and Sylvia came. Her voice is really gone. She's struggling with something. So she couldn't sing. Sylvia can sing, right? But she came to a worship night where all we're going to do is sing, even though she couldn't sing, because she wanted to support her church family and the worship team that was on the platform. She was supporting her peeps. So she comes, and she's there, and she's not really singing because it doesn't have a voice. She goes to the ladies' room because that's what we do when we come to meetings. I want you to know it isn't spiritual. It isn't hyper-spiritual. Get hyper-spiritual out of your head. So a friend comes. The friend's going to the restroom. Sylvia's going to the restroom. While they're interacting in the hallway, God gives Sylvia a word for this lady. Because God loves people. And he sees them. And if we'll walk with God, he'll give us this heart for people. I met Sandy with her guest. Sylvia texted me this. She's coming to second service. Come back if you want to hear it live. Her version will be even more encouraging. I could feel the Holy Spirit stirring in me. I felt his heart for her, began to share a few things, spoke a scripture. I found out later it broke a hold of a difficult experience off of her life. It totally shifted her situation. I didn't know her or what was going on, but I had the joy of watching and participating. She saw this lady, she welcomed her, and then God spoke a word through Sylvia because Sylvia came and was available. That's, what do you have to give, church? A worship team, come up here. You give what you have. You have a word of encouragement. You'll have a really generous gift. You'll give a motorcycle to somebody. You'll give a meal to somebody. You'll invite somebody in your home. Whatever the Holy Spirit stirs and tells you, that's what you'll do. Because that's all that John and Peter did that day. That ordinary day, that day that had been like every other day in the life of that lame beggar, became the day of his life-changing shift and transformation because somebody just paid attention, saw people the way God sees them, and took a step of faith. I think there is this other interesting thing. There must have been a little bit of faith in this guy, because when Peter reached for him, he took his hand and was lifted up. That's all the faith we need sometimes, is I'll just take a hold of the hand that's reaching out. Then he went on a solo walk, and then he was walking and leaping and praising God. You know, Mike was talking about 2-year-olds sitting under the pew hearing, God is so good. There's this dorky praise song. I'm walking and leaping. Every time I read this story, that one just goes in. A little 5-year-old boy, my mom and dad are filled with the Holy Spirit and they're praying for everything that moves, right? In our home, and they have these long meetings. Mom and dad would start these meetings and they'd sing scripture songs and I'd wake up in my bed. I don't know when that happened. That's just what we do, church. We just walk with God. We see people the way he sees them. And we give what we have. And if we'll just give what we have, it'll transform people's lives. So this is a story of many things. There's 3 characters. There's the lame guy. Maybe you identify with the lame guy. Maybe you've got something going on in your life that is decades old and you would love to not have it holding you back anymore. You can ask for God to heal you, to free you. Maybe you're like John. You're a great wingman. You love to support. You're showing up for prayer. You're Peter's right-hand man. You're happy for him to do all the talking and you're just there. Maybe you can identify with John and you just want to see God move in people's lives and be there to support it. Maybe you're Peter and you're seeing people through new eyes, and maybe you're like Peter and you're seeing the power of God changed people, and you just want to see more and more of that activity of the Holy Spirit in your life. But today I want to be a little bit more like Peter. So I want to give 3 invitations. I believe there's some people here who came today because church is what mom and dad make me do, or church is what I ought to do to please my spouse, or church is something that makes me feel good, and you weren't expecting anything different, but you've never had a personal relationship with God, and today's the day you should be saved. You should have a new life where nothing else is like it used to be. When that lame man came in the temple walking and leaping, it drew people's attention, and they said, that's the guy I used to see out at the gate. When Jesus comes into our life, people recognize a big change in you. and today could be your day. Maybe you've been a believer all your life and you just want a breakthrough today. And I believe God wants to change your life and break through and change things forever. Or maybe you just want to be filled with more of the Holy Spirit so that you can see people the way God sees them and be empowered to take little steps of faith and give what you have. So you might have a word to give to somebody. You may have a gift to give to somebody. You may be prophetic and have these amazing prophecy kinds of words. You may be a compassion person and you just want to be with somebody. You might be a serving person and you showed up and did mulch for 4 hours yesterday and now you're looking for the next thing to serve. Whatever you have to give, give it. It will change people's lives. You don't have to have money. I'm so blessed that when Peter and John realized they didn't have what he was looking for, they gave him more than he was asking. And you can too. So those were three invitations. Did you catch them? Maybe you need a new life in Christ. Maybe you need a shift and a change that breaks you free of stuff. Or thirdly, you just want more of the Holy Spirit to fill you so you're like John and Peter, on the prowl, looking for opportunities to see people's lives changed. So let's stand up. We're going to sing this Believe For It song. And I was wondering how to do this invitation thing in the most anointed way that you would remember and be impressed with. That's what pastors do. We look for really cool ways to make things stick. I'm trying to keep you from being hyper-spiritual. Is it working? So while we were worshiping to this song earlier, out of the corner of my eye, I saw Pam kneeling. I think that's a really anointed response. If you want new life in Christ, while we're singing this song, just kneel if you're able. If you want the Holy Spirit to fill you, while we're singing this song, just kneel as a response to the Lord's invitation. If you want breakthrough in your life, if you want to be delivered, I believe there's power and faith in this room to break lifelong addiction. All you got to do is kneel. Maybe you're not a kneeler. Raise your hand, hold your heart. My gosh. Just respond to the invitation of the Lord today, okay? So they're going to sing this song, and when I think our hearts are as tender as they can possibly be, then we'll close with a benediction. All right, let's worship, church. We're going to close now with the ministry team members that are here who pray for people. If you come to the right and left, if you would like to pray with someone else for the things that you wanted breakthrough for, or the filling of the Holy Spirit you were asking for, or brand new life in Christ, these people are full of faith and will pray specifically with you. I want to send you out with a blessing. Parents, don't forget your children. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to fill us. Holy Spirit, thank you for empowering us to experience and share Jesus' love. I bless each of you with power to understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep God's love is for you. I bless you to experience the love of Christ, though you may never fully understand it. I bless you to experience the love of Jesus. I bless you to be made complete, to be made whole, to be made full of the life and power that the Holy Spirit gives. I bless you to walk in the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. I bless you to experience way, 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 way more of God's goodness than you're expecting or can imagine. May all glory be given to God through your life, through the life of Grace Covenant Church. And I pray all this in Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I love you, church. You're dismissed to go. You're invited to come and have prayer in person if you desire that.